You ever make a prayer or a wish and you prayed for it so bad and then it came true and you had this deep remorse?
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Terrence Dixon. He is a trauma health coach, a motivational speaker, published author, and today we're going to get into it. And Terrence, welcome to the podcast.
My man, I'm excited to be here. What an honor and a privilege. I mean, I was so excited about being on your podcast is that I lost some sleep last night. It was like 3 o'clock at night and I couldn't fall back to sleep because I was thinking about the podcast today. And so I'm excited to be here and to enjoy some time with your audience.
Yeah, I'm definitely grateful for you. Yeah. So I think, usually I kind of like to begin with, how did you end up in this space? And tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay. You know, I was thinking about that this morning because, I read this quote and it said that most people will have 5 to 7 careers in their lifespan. And for me, this is technically would be my third career. I started off at import and export when I was in my 20s. And then after college, I was in mortgage banking and real estate, believe it or not, for 30 years. As a loan broker, VP of underwriting, doing FHA, VA loans. But now what I'm doing, I don't really wouldn't call it a career. I call it my passion, my purpose, and my calling in life. So it's a little bit different. So when I speak about it, I feel this energy inside. And so you probably wonder, how did I get here? And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. You ever make a prayer or a wish and you prayed for it so bad and then it came true and you had this deep remorse? When I was 7 years old, I don't know about you, but I hated school. We had recently moved to the neighborhood and I didn't have that many friends at school. And so I was kind of shy, a little timid. And then, of course, I was bullied. And so I hated school. And so I started as a 7-year-old thinking of how can I get out of going to school every day? And so I was watching TV and I saw this kid with a broken leg, right? Just kicking back in his reclining chair. He had his leg up and living his best life, watching TV all day and no school, or at least that's what I concluded in my mind. And then the best part is that anytime he needed something, he would just ring this bell, ding, 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 and his mom would bring him whatever he wanted. And so I said, that's what I need, a broken leg, that I too can be living my best life. And of course, not having to go to school. And so all of a sudden, I came up with this idea. Well, how am I going to break my leg? And I went through all these ideas and came up with one. And so as a little boy, I was taught to say my prayers every night. Now I lay down to sleep. I pray to the Lord, my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray to Lord, my soul to take. And then I would add the prayer that would change the course of my life forever. I would say, dear God, please help me to get hit by a car so that I can break my leg. I would say this prayer every single night. Not only say it, but I would visualize myself getting hit by a car, breaking my leg, and then, of course, kicking back in that reclining chair. And so all year long, I pray that prayer, and here's the summer now, and I didn't break my leg. I wasn't praying anymore about getting hit by a car because it was summer and I was living my best life. Now I was living my best life. And so as I was playing outside, I don't know about for you, but outside back in the day for us was everything. Outside, I would think is, I call it when I talk to like younger groups, I said, outside for us is like when you play video games out there. We would be outside all day long playing football on the streets, ding dong ditch, whatever it was, karate after watching the latest Bruce Lee movie. But then what I liked to do the most was ride up and down the street on my big wheel as if I was speed racer. And then I would jump off the curb into the street. And then on this ominous summer's eve, I didn't notice this big green car heading towards me like a battering ram, and it hit me and drug me 5 houses down the street. I did not break a single bone in my body, but I did get a daily reminder of my accident in the form of this 12-inch scar that I have on my arm. At first, I wore it as like a badge of honor because my life had been spared. So I felt as a kid like a superhero, like a warrior. But then over time, I started to become ashamed of it because I believed that it was punishment for my foolish prayer that could have killed me twice. And so from the age of 7 into my early 30s, I hid the scar. Like even in the hottest of California summers, I was born and raised in California. Even in then, I would not wear tank tops. I would not wear a short sleeve shirt. Definitely wouldn't be happy with what I'm wearing now. All because of the idea and the emotional trauma that I experienced from the thought, the one thought, or what I call as a self-lie, the false narratives that we create in our mind that hold us back from living our life. And so I know that's a long way to get to where I'm at now. And I had to give you that background because I'm here to help people not have to live in imprisonment like I have for over 25 years of my life. I mean, it's well past that time, of course. I said I'm getting close to, I'm 58, so well past my 30s. And so, but after, that's why I'm here today. And that's why I'm coaching people when I speak about helping people transform their life from this pain and this emotional pain and trauma that they experience to now living a more fulfilled, more happy, more joyful life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. There's a bunch of things that come out there. The whole idea, the whole story is like there's visualization, right? There's faith. You add the faith. You are like praying with, and then your belief system and all of these things, like it worked out that way, right? And so the universe is almost, or God's hearing, like just hit by a car. It doesn't care about the school or anything. It's just, okay, you want to get hit by a car? Here we go.
That's right.
But then those same visualization, belief, and faith, now you're taking that tragedy, turning it to triumph, pain into purpose, and you can use those same tools to create whatever you want with people.
Yes. In fact, I tell people often to be careful what you pray for, because you never know whether good or bad it may come true. And so as a coach, those are my 4 pillars when I teach people how to overcome their trauma is, first, we start with faith, because if you don't believe that you can do something, then you won't be able to achieve it. And then the next one is fitness. Breaking out of my comfort zone and breaking out of that imprisonment that I had back when I was in my early 30s had a lot to do with fitness. And then it's forgiveness, right? Forgiveness, most people think forgiveness of others. No, I'm talking about forgiveness of self. You know, we are quick to forgive others, but we, for the longest time, we'll hold on to grudges just about ourselves. We can't forgive ourselves for whatever it may happen. And then, of course, is to change our focus, to refocus. And that has a lot to do with what you believe, and what you focus on. And right, and so I coach that if you have this one narrative in your mind, because the lies that we tell ourselves, my book is called I'm a Liar. Stop living your lies, start living your purpose. It is all about the lies that we tell ourselves that hold us back from living the life that we desire. And so to get past that, I try to tell people that you can change that attitude. You can change the mindset, because the lies that we tell ourselves become the lens on how we view everything, our relationships, our work, our family. Everything that we view in life is based upon the lies that we tell ourselves. And so in order to get past that, you have to be able to see yourself being more authentic, being more truthful, just being you, right? God made you exactly how you are. There are no mistakes. And once people realize that, they can have just a more comfortable aspect about who they are and who they desire to be.
Yeah. I love the four F's. Is fitness, is that physical or mental, emotional, or all of it?
It's all of it, because oftentimes the fitness part, the physical, starts within the mind, right? If you can't see it, if you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to put on muscle, whatever the case may be, if you can't see it first and you can't have the faith that you can achieve it, then it will never happen. And so those four pillars are set up based upon, they're all synergistic. You really can't have one without the other. And so with the physical part for me is that I had to be able to see myself walking around with t-shirts and tank tops and exposing. And so it was funny, when I started to do that, I had to take baby steps. And people, you know, I look back on that time and I'm amazed by it. I'm amazed that I thought the things that I thought. But I never judge anyone, because you never know what someone's going through, what their backstory is. And so, and if someone could understand why I would just wear a tank top and go down the block and come back in the house, how that was so powerful for me at the time, is because I had never done it before. I haven't done it, never done it from the age of 7. And so I often tell people, it may take some baby steps to get you where you want to be. But then when you get there and you live in that space, you will look back on your life and say, wow, I can't believe I did that. I tell myself, I can't believe. And I also tell people, don't look at me now, right? Don't look at myself with the scar and the tattoos and the muscle. Just imagine myself as a 7-year-old kid that prayed for something to self-injure. It happened, but not quite the way that he wanted it to be. And so people live daily with these emotional burdens that they have, and not really understanding that it wasn't really their fault in the first place. And that right there is just understanding that when someone told me, a therapist said, you were 7 years old, and it wasn't your fault. That freed me up so much. Just to hear that it wasn't my fault. So no matter what I tell people, no matter what you've experienced in your life, you know, they say 70% of people have experienced at least one traumatic event. 30% have experienced at least 3 to 4 traumatic events. No matter what you have experienced in your life, number one, is not your fault. No matter what you believe, or no matter what someone may have told you, it is not your fault. And if you can understand that, then you can get past it and start to evolve and heal yourself.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a shocking low number, 70%. I would think it's closer to 90, like almost everybody has to, right?
I would think so. I was a survey conducted like in 24 countries that showed that. And so maybe, you know, oftentimes maybe people weren't being, again, honest, truthful, or not really understanding what trauma is, right? I didn't understand it. I really thought as I was, you know, evolving through seven and as I'm getting older, I really was just thought about it was the physical scar. Really, when it was the emotional scar of my heart, it was the guilt. It was the shame. I never told anyone that I prayed to get hit by a car. I was so ashamed of that. I never even told my family, my mother, until very later on in life. And because I had so much guilt and shame. And so people don't really sometimes understand that that guilt and shame that you have is a result of trauma. And so that could be why the number is low. I mean, I would think that it would be 100% of people have experienced at least one traumatic event. We all go through things in life.
Yeah, like even the great religion teaches, like in Buddhism, is like all of life is suffering. Jesus is dying on the cross, suffering. And it's anyway, that's an unbelievable, well, it's not unbelievable, it's an amazing story. And I'm glad, like, so part of my thing, you said focus is one of yours. So that's a tagline here, what we focus on expands. So we get to decide. I didn't know that before. I used to just think, this is what happens, that's your life, whatever. No, we get to design it, and it's by focusing and expanding. My company that's not Facebook, my company's called the Next Steps Academy. And the tagline for that one is, your story is your superpower.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's you, man. That's your story is your superpower. Yeah. So now Coach T is giving it back and sharing it with other people. What does that look like?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I was just actually, we were talking earlier and you were telling me about, you know, the medication and the pills. I was like, wow, I want to hear more about that. I'm sure there's a great background to that. But yeah, you know, when it comes to, I never thought as I was working my way and through this pain, through the suffering, I had a feeling deep inside that one day I would be telling my story, because I know there's other people out there that have a story that needs to be told. And it is, I would consider it, you know, my superpower. It is what, you know, I was able to, and I never just say I, of course, I know that God has had his hand on my life, that even at a very early age, because of course I was praying, even though we never went to church as a young child, we were taught to pray. And so I always believed, right? And so I know it's not just about me, right? It's about my being of service to people and helping people. And that's why I love to coach and speak, because people may not have the exact same details, right, as far as my story is concerned, but it is all kind of woven together by our emotional scars. That's the one thing that we all have, is these emotional scars that we deal with. And so sometimes if I tell my story, and now it's empowering for me, I'm hoping to empower others. And I'm hoping that people understand that whatever that they've gone through, right, because we all go through things, right, through the trial, through the test, that when we get on the other side, we do have a testimony and a powerful story to tell that can uplift, even if it's just one person, right? If I can just uplift one person and hope and it hopes that they live a different life, then my job is done. But I hope to do many others other than that.
Yeah. One time I wrote this article and two people reached out to me and said reading that article stopped them from killing themselves. And I was just like, whoa, like I was sitting on this article for the longest time, not sharing it with anybody. And then like, that's, whoa, like, wow, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the article about?
It was about clouds. It was just about thoughts and like how we get so attached that we think we're it. And if you're going through something, that just, it's clouds. If you wait long enough, if it's big white puffy clouds outside right now, that's great. But if it's rain clouds, they'll go away. You just have to wait. And the idea is that you're the sun behind the clouds. You're always there. Oh. And so, but just, the reaction was like, oh, You asked me about my story, so
that's beautiful, man. Because I just want to interject about that, because oftentimes, you know, when it comes to the trauma that we face, and people to how to help people understand what that is, right? You know, they say, what is trauma? How do you acknowledge? Because I say the first step is to acknowledge it, and they're like, well, what do you mean by it? And so I tell them, do you have this, like this deep-seated shame that won't go away, or this guilt, this lasting feeling of pain and guilt, or this fear that just hovers above you like a rain cloud, and that's always present? That could be, that's how I tell people how to understand what trauma is. And so in hearing that story, if you can just make that rain cloud disappear, right? Because I've also, there were points in my life that I had thought of committing suicide as I got older and into my teens. In my later teens, I started abusing alcohol and cocaine and other negative methods just to cope with the pain that I had inside, and even considered committing suicide. And so to hear your story and how that your story just changed two people, it probably impacted more. That's exactly, you know, why I'm here, and I'm passionate about what I'm doing, because I'm hoping that someone hears what I'm saying, and knowing that wherever they're at in that moment is not exactly where they're meant to be, right? Sometimes we believe this is where I'm at right now is all it is. It's nothing better than this. I can't be more than where I'm at right now. And that is just not the case.
Yeah. That's the hopelessness, right? You can't see outside of it. You're stuck in it. Right. And those frequencies, pain, shame, guilt, blame, all those low frequencies, they're all lies. Like, that's
right.
Your purest self is much higher up and much more from the heart. Those frequencies, they're inside you, stored as trauma, but they're also like, I don't know, they're just not lies. They're sometimes what other people think and your projection, and it's just not focus. So yeah, like faith, focus, fitness. I have an acronym it's not four F's, but it's close to yours, and it's called BIAS, and it goes belief, intention, action, surrender. Belief is in your heart. First, you have to believe that what you're going to do is going to work. This is right. More for goals, right? But if you don't believe it, you're not even going to try, or you're going to give up. So first you have to have the belief. Intention is your mind. What do you want? What does it look like? Visualize that. Action is going out and doing it. And then surrender is Jeremiah 29:11. This is like, we got a plan for you. You don't have to worry about it. God has a plan for you.
Exactly.
So you have to surrender.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And you have to have, you know, that belief for me is everything. And I tell people, I ask them, what is the one belief that echoes in your mind on a daily basis, that when you wake up in the morning, it's ever present and it resonates in your mind? And I said, is it a belief that uplifts you and it fuels your ambitions and drives you towards your greatness? Or is it a belief where most people live and it silently sabotages your self-worth? It shackles everything that you are, and it keeps you kind of grounded in a life that hides your true potential, all based upon belief. And so that's where it all starts and begins, is what you believe. You know, if you believe that whatever it is that you want to be, that's what you can do. If you don't, like I did for over 25 years of my life, I believed falsely these things in my life, and it constricted my life. It constricted my potential. It constricted my happiness, my fulfillment in every part of it, every part of my being. And so once you get past that, whatever it is that you want, you can change and alter your beliefs. Doesn't happen overnight, of course, but you can do it. It's all about what you focus on.
Yeah. You said kind of that awareness is the starting point, but like, where would someone start? Like, they're like, this is a thing. And like, I guess where I'm going is, how do you make them see that their beliefs might not be true, that they're the sabotaging beliefs especially?
Yeah. You know, I say that the first step is that you have to uncover the scar, uncover the lie, whatever it is that, and you know what it is. And that's why I asked you, what is that one belief? What is that? We have to uncover it, be transparent. And I spoke about this earlier, and I tell them, I have to start with, it is not your fault. Because once you understand that it's not your fault, then we can take the next step. You know, taking the next step is understanding that whatever it is, it's not your fault. And it's not also about pointing a finger. It's not assigning blame. It's really about who you are. It's not about whatever happened in the past. It's about where you are today. And so understanding and acknowledging that ever-present guilt that you have, and that your shame, and that knowing fear that you have, that is the first step towards your breakthrough. Once you understand that, then you can go to what I like to say is the next step, and that is really shifting your perspective, right? It's the lies that, and I talked about this earlier, the lies that we tell ourselves have become the lens on how we view everything. If we think of ourselves as a lie, and we're not living authentically and truthfully, and we're not just being who we are, everything that we do is impacted. And so acknowledging, you know, and uncovering the scar then is the next step. The second one is shifting the perspective, right? And so I tell people, just say this with me, that my life, who I am today, is not defined by my past, right? Who I desire to be is not defined by my past. And it's really a powerful mantra, and if you can understand it and accept it, and one that can help you with your breakthrough. And I tell people that you have to get over. My fear was that when people would see my scar, they would literally run away from me. I thought this for years and years of my life. And so I said, you have to get, oftentimes transformation requires bold action. And so it means that sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone. However you've been living there, and whatever that is that's holding you back, you got to get past that. And so for me, it was, I started entering these natural bodybuilding competitions in which I used to cover myself up for years, and then being on stage with barely nothing on. It was so a thrilling yet terrifying experience for me, because I had never done that, but it was one that took me out of my comfort zone. So I often tell people that you have to be ready to get out of your comfort zone, because if you want to stay in that your own box, we all have one, whatever it is, we all have this little box of comfort that keeps us exactly where we are, where we've been, and where we will remain if we don't get out of that box of comfort.
Yeah, for sure. I say with unbounding boundaries, I call it, and it's like, we put our boundaries on ourselves, or we put ourselves into the box. Yeah. And like, the only one you put yourself in, not always, but for the most part, with limiting beliefs, we put ourselves inside. I can't do that. That's not for me. That's for you, not me. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. And it's all lies.
It's all,
lies.
Yeah.
And so, do you know Michael Beckwith is? Reverend Michael Beckwith?
Yeah, I do.
Agape Center?
Yeah, Agape Center, right.
When I'm saying all lies, that's what it was, limiting beliefs. He says, like, the thing about limiting beliefs is they're all lies. And
yeah,
so
they're all lies.
We just have to change the story. And you can start, Arthur Ashe had a great quote, start where you are, using what you have, and do what you can. And that's all anybody can do. But that's
exactly,
once you have that starting point, man, sky's the limit.
Right. I often tell, like, sometimes it's not even the lies that we have told ourselves. Oftentimes, these lies are planted by other people. like friends or what I call haters.
Well-meaning people, right?
Yeah, even a parent or a sibling, right? You know, they've all had their say in crafting our beliefs, right? You know, they have sprinkled these seeds of fear and of doubt, right? And sown these thorns of limitations and inadvertently have shaped, you know, the boundaries of our potential. And so often I say it's sometimes it could just be someone else in your life, a well-meaning person. You know, I tell this story. I have this friend that I confided in, and I said, hey, you know, I'm going to write a book, and I want to be a speaker. I want to tell my story to the world. And I still laugh about it. When he told me this, he said, he didn't tell me that I wasn't a good speaker. He didn't even tell me that my message would not resonate. He told me that you can't be a speaker because you are, now I'm sitting down in a chair, but I'm not the tallest guy in the world. But he said, you are too short. And I said, what you talking about, Willis? I am too short? I said, now I know I'm not expecting a call from the LA Lakers, but how does my height impact the power of my words coming out of my mouth and my message? So you have to be careful of who you tell your aspirations and your goals and your dreams to, because some will try to rain on your parade before you ever get started, you know, and they will tell you and sprinkle these lies into you that would also hold you back. So it may not even be you. It could be those around you that say they love you. And so and I just laugh about that. And so I haven't, you know, seen this guy in a while, but it's amazing what sometimes people will tell you because of whatever they may be experiencing, their own fear that they may have or all doubts that they may have about their own selves or what they can't do. Don't allow anybody to do that. And if they have implanted those lies in your life, you just have to acknowledge them and move on from there.
Yeah. I love it. So you're asking about my story. So this ties in. So I heard a doctor. Okay. So what happened to me? I kept getting hurt at work. I'll go to the doctor. Nothing's wrong. You're fine. I kept getting hurt going back. Finally, we found like a tumor in my spine. So not cancerous, thankfully, but it was just pushing up against my spine. So they scraped as close as they could. If they went any further, then I wouldn't be able to walk. So anyway, it didn't work. So then I'm in more pain afterwards. So here, take one pill, take two pills, eventually 33 pills. I tried radiation, nerve blocks, anything. I tried probably 18 or 20 different modalities. And that was my deal. Looking back, now I can say for sure that the reason I'm better now is because my deal the whole time was there's an answer out there and I'm going to find it. Right. But it was a decade of hell, right? So anyway, at one point I was in a mobility scooter. I couldn't laugh, cough, sneeze, breathe without chronic pain. Mm-hmm. I would wake up every morning. I would know, okay, I'm taking these 9 pills. 4 hours later, you're taking 9 more all day long, right? I could tell you what my future is going to look like 50 years down the road. Yeah. And I wake up and take 33 pills.
Right.
Then I stumble across this Dr. Joe Dispenza. And he says, bunch of stuff, but one of them was your personality creates your personal reality. And I was like, is that true? Yeah, that's true. I'm a miserable person and I'm seeing it everywhere in my world. Another thing he said, and this maybe got into my head because he was a doctor, neuroscientist, chiropractor, but he said at some of his retreats and seminars that there would be people like blind people seeing, deaf people hearing, people with tumors and cancers getting rid of it. And I'm just like, whoa. So I tried all this. I tried all the stuff he said and it worked. But one thing he would say was about, are you giving your power away to the doctor because he's a doctor?
And I
was
like, well,
I'm totally doing that.
Right.
And then like COVID came like a couple years later and it was like, okay, I learned all of these things. Anyway, sure, long story. Last year I ran 2 marathons and 5 years ago I was in a mobility scooter.
Wow. Wow. It's amazing. What is that one thing that he told you that changed? Because I'm curious about that changed you from taking. I've also had some back issues myself. And so I understand not to the level that you experienced, but I understand that debilitating feeling that you have that, oh, wow, this is it. This is it. I'm not going to be able to move. I'm not going to be able to be active, not going to be able to do the things that I love to do, like working out. I was like, please, God, just I will stop lifting heavy. I will, whatever it is. And just to be able to walk without being in pain. And so what was it that he told you, or you read in the book or whatever in the seminar, that really changed your thought process about your healing and your back? Because taking that amount of pills, right, you just don't go from taking 33 pills a day to not taking any pills at all. You had to do a complete shift of mindset. What was that one thing that you learned?
Yeah, there's a couple. So my son was turning 5 and I was turning 40. And up until that point, I was not really a good father. I couldn't even play with my son or anything, right? And so hearing this guy, and then there's another doctor talking about epigenetics, how the environment controls your genes. So if you change the environment. And so you're right about the pills. You have to do it. I had to do it with a doctor and slowly go down. I actually had to see him like 3 times a week because you can't just stop.
Right. But
it was just probably like a decision, a belief that I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do this. And hearing the stories of other people, like just normal people who aren't celebrities or anything, just normal people.
Right.
And they did this and they healed. And at the same time, there was a bunch of people came in. So he was one. There was a yogi guy. There was Army Navy SEAL guy, Jocko Willink.
Couple
others, right? And like Tony Robbins. But there was like 5 different people from all different walks of life. And they're all saying the same kind of thing. Like, you need to journal. You need to exercise, eat right, sleep right, meditate, pray. I'm like, hell, what I'm doing right now is not working. I'll try anything.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then some people are at that desperate point that they're just looking for what is the answer? I don't want to live like this and I know, like, when I hurt my back, it was for me is I wanted the pills. They wouldn't prescribe the pills. And so I had to focus on, you need to go to a chiropractor, you need to stretch, you need to stop doing strength training for right now, do a lot of walking. And so I started incorporating those things, but more importantly, I started believing that I'm going to be healed. And so I would say these things out loud. I am healed. I am strong. I am powerful. My back is healed. And so I can sit in this chair for over 2 hours and it's not painful for me. And normally it would be. And so changing your thought process to being sorry for myself. Oh, I hurt myself. And I'm going to be living like this for the rest of my life, to know this is how I'm going to be living and seeing myself being active and doing the things that I used to do. That is, it's mind changing. It's mind changing and life changing. And so I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful that I can continue to be active and do the things that I want to do. And hearing, you know, your motivation was your son being a better father to your son. And not because you're not being in such pain, because kids don't understand that, right? And so hearing that, that's, wow, that I'm a dad of 3, and so I understand that. I understand that, you know, when you're trying to be the best person that you can be, the best dad that you can be, you know, that pain can take you out of that mindset. So, but I can look at you now and tell that you're healthy and strong and powerful, all the things that you envision for yourself.
Thanks. Yeah, as you were talking there, I kind of thought about one thing the guy did say was like, if you've been taking pills for 5 years, 7 years, and they're not working, you have to ask yourself, why are you taking them? And I was like, oh, these aren't even working. And I'm taking 33 a day. And I'm like,
That's amazing.
And just, man, just the things like being able to jump on a trampoline with my kids or play ice hockey. It's just, it was unfathomable before. So anyone listening who thinks that you're stuck and you can't go forward, it's not true, right? We get to make it up. And just like that Arthur Ashe quote, start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can.
Yeah. You know, there's an epidemic, an opioid epidemic, and I'm assuming those pills were opioids. And so for you to get past that, that is, people need to hear that, that you can get past those pills and live without them and be able to function, not only function, but thrive, right? People not just survive, but thrive. And that's what I talk about too, is that when I'm not just telling you my story in an effort just to say, well, here I am. No, I want to help you go from the mindset of not just surviving in your life, but thriving. Whatever that is, however you define that, because we all have our own definitions of thriving and what success is, whatever that means to you, I want you to be able to understand that and get past whatever that is. And so for you to, you know, I applaud you, man, to be able to get past taking, that's, wow, incredible amount of pills to be taking. And I understand that pain can make you do that. And so, and pain, just like our internal pain, and I tell people that oftentimes we will, when it comes to, like, we get a wound on our arm or cut, right? What are we quick to do? Put a Band-Aid on it, put some ointment on it, right? So we are quick to, or if you have tattoos, if you don't take care of your tattoo, oh, man. How is that tattoo going to look? So it's the same with when it comes to our emotional scars and trauma. If we immediately start to nurture them instead of neglect them, right? If we nurture them, we neglect them, they have a profound impact on our personal and professional lives, you know, manifesting as anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, self-sabotage. But then when you nurture them, your scars, that can be the catalyst which brings out your passion, your purpose, and the best versions of yourself. And so when I say nurture, I mean like self-care, whatever that means to you. You know, my mom used to, when I was a little boy, she would say, boy, you better put that cocoa butter on your arm every day, right? Because the doctor told her that if my wound didn't heal properly, that it could become infected, requiring additional surgeries or worse. And so every single day, she would make me put cocoa butter on my arm. Now, what if we did that for our emotional scars, right? Every day, not just maybe once a week or maybe once a month or once a year, right? What if every day we did some type of cocoa butter treatment that is like meditation, right? Meditation is... Our mindfulness is what I call that cocoa butter treatment, or getting whatever it may be to help you, you know, speaking to a coach, a therapist, counselor, and speaking about the trauma that you experience. Those are things, and that's the mindset change that we need when it comes to our invisible emotional scars. We have to treat them like we would our visible wounds. Immediately start nurturing.
You said earlier cathartic at the very beginning. You said something about cathartic, and this is what it is, right? These, they try to come up and they try to release all this trauma and stuff, and we just choke it back down. We distract it, drinking, sex, alcohol, video games, whatever, right? All these distractions to put it back down. When really, like, you, that cathartic release is what your body's trying to do. Yogic sciences, I don't know how they knew this so long ago. Science is now calling it. There's a book called, The Body Keeps Score, about trauma. There's a lot. Right. But the yogic sciences, these dudes knew it way back when. They called them samskaras. And so an event happens to you when you're a kid, positive or negative, and you hold on to it. Mm-hmm. And the guy, he describes it like this. Like, if you went to a really amazing concert or a party or something, right? You had a girl when you were in love. And emotions are so real that you can recall them like that. And the trauma. Right.
Yeah.
But when you're driving in your car and you drive past a bunch of trees or the white lines on the road, you don't remember that. You don't feel about it. Like, there's nothing. The memory is different. And so they say, like, those samskaras, when they come up, just let them go. And for me, when this all happened, there was this, like, deep breaths of just overwhelming. I was like choking, like, and I've heard other people say the similar things. Right. But that's what I didn't know at the time, but that's what it is. It's all this trauma's coming up. So the biggest thing for me, my life looks totally different than it did before. I was that guy drinking and partying and just All the houses, right? Every single house. It didn't matter which way you went on the street. Like someone's garage is open and they're drinking. And it's
right.
And now it looks so different, the world. And I couldn't be more grateful. So I guess, again, the message is like, you get to make it up and maybe take some time to make. I think that's the thing. Hey, I noticed as a coach, like, I ask people, like, if you had a magic wand, you could do whatever. I never thought about it. And it's like, no one ever asked them, like, what do you really want?
Yeah, you know, I'm very transparent when it comes to my past and the things that I did in order to cope with my feelings, right? And I'm glad I did those things because I understand now they don't work, right? The abuse of alcohol, and I wasn't a big drinker, but I drank enough. And I would go clubbing every single week. I would tell my friends couldn't go. I would go by myself, all in an effort to be validated or to put behind me this pain that I was experiencing. And I got a DUI, and I'm so happy that I got that. Well, not now I am happy, but in that moment, I was again experiencing some shame. But that DUI changed my life. Getting that DUI really completely stopped me from clubbing. I had to go to AA classes and start seeing and speaking about alcoholism. And it really reset my life. Because after that, I haven't been back. That's probably been over 25 years. My son is 25, so I've been over 25 years since I been back to a club. But you have to sometimes, well, not sometimes, generally with most people, go through those things. Go through those hard times. Go through those trials in order to come out on the other side and really understand that it's not going to help. It's not going to help, and it's not something that I will ever fall back on if, you know, as we continue to live life and experience maybe some heartache and some grief. I will never go back to, in fact, the grief that I recently experienced, losing my mom back in 2020. I cared for her for 8 years out of my life. You know, she had Alzheimer's, and it was an honor and privilege for me to do so. And so, but I was already close to my mom, but I had this strong bond with her. And so for me, when she passed, I already knew I had this anticipatory grief coming. And I told God, you're going to have to help me with this because I don't want to be taken down into this. I really thought I was going to have this melancholy depression. And so I just had to be in that pain, be in that grief, and go through bereavement class and talk about it and cry and experience the pain. And now I'm much better than I was. You know, of course, I miss my mom, and grief oftentimes never goes away, but it does lessen. I'm not going to do what I used to do and not show pain and not say that I want to cry. I'm going to show that emotion because I know how therapeutic it is, and that when I do it, it just releases all this pent up emotion and allows you to just move on to the next day. And that's what it's all about, right? It's all about living our days and living them to, you know, the best of our abilities, but at the same time, understanding that if we have this pain that we have gone through in our life, and that it doesn't have to be a constant, it doesn't have to be ever present in our life, that we can get past it. And so, you know, I'm glad that I was able to experience that deep grief, because now I speak about it, specifically talk about it to a lot of men, because a lot of men hold back when it comes to their grief and their pain. And you can't outrun it. I learned in my class, it's like a tidal wave. It's going to be there waiting for you. And I understand that, you know, you may try to deny me. You may try to run from me, but it's going to be ever present and be ready to absorb you and take over your life if you allow it. And so if you don't just allow it to come out naturally and just deal in that pain, and then you can get past it and live your life just a little bit more happier, a little bit more fulfilled. I'm not saying that everything's going to be beautiful and life is going to be perfect. It's never like that, always. But you have moments of it is beautiful. It is perfect. It is, I do feel fulfilled. Yeah. And I'm happy and I'm joyful.
I love it. It sounds more like that's when you're in your heart instead of in your head. And when we get stuck in our head, that's no good. I wonder about bereavement and Alcohol Anonymous. Are they kind of a similar process? You're grieving both ways, right?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, it depends. You know, for me, the AA class, you know, I was exposed to individuals that really had deep alcoholism in their life. And I was happy to see that. They called me. I would get up and tell my story because you always had to get up every week and tell your story. And they would always tell me, they would call me the Oreo shake alcoholic because I always say, oh, man, I wasn't drunk. I was just trying to get the last bit of that Oreo shake, and I swerved. And they just tell me, oh, just sit down. You just like us. And I said, you know what? I am just like you. No matter what level we are on, different levels. And I experienced some serious alcoholism. There's one, I'll just talk about one lady, and she was in a wheelchair, and her family would take her wheelchair from her, thinking that would stop her from getting alcohol. But she said, nope, I would just crawl on my knees and on my arms, just like an Army Ranger, to the liquor store. Through the mud, through the grass, through the dirt, just to get that drink. And I would raise my arm up, and she said she would come back home all filthy just to get that alcohol. And so for me, being able to hear these stories, it really impacted my life and say, I got to do something about my alcohol. And so I learned that when I was grieving, I didn't turn towards it, because they say whatever you do when it comes to grieving, if it helps you to have a little bit more happiness, as long as it's not something that's going to hurt you, like drinking in excess or turning to drugs, or a lot of people just imagining that person that passed is still there, you know. So what I would do is go out to my mom's gravesite every single month and care for her gravesite like I used to care for her on a daily basis. Because they say something, when you've been a caregiver, you also lose that. Not just you lose the person, but you lose the act of caring for someone. And so I had care for my mom for 8 years. And so now, and I still do this on a monthly basis, I go out to her gravesite and I just clean it up. I care for it because it's something that I need to do. That nurturing part of me needs to do that. And so it helped me over time, that pain, that grief is getting better. Has it gone away completely? I don't think it ever will, but am I able to live my life as my mom would want me to live my life and not be still mourning her? She would be upset if she knew I was still mourning her. And so, you know, I speak about grief to people that it's okay. It's okay to talk about it. It's okay. And I tell people, you should get into a bereavement class. You need to speak about this because it's very helpful. You can just get some tools and some tips on how you deal with your grief. And so grief for me is kind of similar to trauma, because we all try to just put it down, right? We try to put it, well, I'm going to just go put you in the corner over here, right? We just try to deny it or put it to the other side, and it's ever there looking at us, right? Trauma, I'm here. You're going to have to deal. I'm grief. You're going to have to deal with me one day or the other. And so it's better just to deal with whatever that pain is. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard because it was hard for me, and sometimes it still is. But if you don't, then you can't live the life that you are really meant to live, that God desires for you to live.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I facilitate chronic pain groups. Anxiety, depression is a part of that.
And yeah.
One lady, like, she had to get her leg cut off, amputated, sorry. And so she was talking about grief that, and not just for herself, but for the rest of the group.
Yeah.
It's a very tight group. That it's not just about death. Like, you're grieving your former self.
Right.
And where I'm going with that here is that if we're looking to change and we don't like where we are, it takes a while to move forward. But you also kind of have to grieve that you're not that person anymore and let go of it, positive right. or negative.
Yeah. 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 Go ahead.
As we begin to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share, follow, and reach out to Coach T. Obviously, this conversation is deep and vulnerable, and so you already know what you're getting. You understand his inspiration and his motivation. And I think we're talking to women, but we're definitely talking to men more in this conversation because there's a stigma that needs to be lifted. So reach out to Coach T and have that conversation.
Let's talk. And I just tell people that I'm just here to put a smile and help you smile more. If you can smile more, because it's hard to smile oftentimes, like you could be feeling bad, but just try to smile and you understand that there is happiness and joy on the other side. And it was such an honor for me to be here. What a great conversation. I loved it.
Thanks, man. We're not done yet, though. We got a couple more.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Let's go.
Yeah, I ask everybody this. This is the Phase 4 podcast, and Phase 4 in the six-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is all about creating your future 3 years from today. So right. Where is Coach T 3 years from today?
My goal is to, I have a goal, and that is to impact 100,000 people a year. And so for three years from now, and I guess that's 300,000, I'm not close to impacting that, but that is, I'm focused on impacting as many individuals as I can. So 3 years from now, so I'm developing this. Now, I do coach people one-on-one, but I want to be able to reach like the masses. So I'm developing a coaching program where I can help more people on a daily basis versus just one-to-one or in a group setting. And so 3 years from now, that is moving forward. I am speaking all over the world. I am sharing my story, and it is a great time. And so I'm really happy to be here. I'm happy that you asked that question. And so it helps me to just refocus about where I'm at and where I desire to be.
Yeah, love it. I love it. I think before I ask my final question, I kind of let the guests take it wherever they want. So like, if you have something to sell, sell it, a message of hope, maybe something we don't know about you, somewhere you want to go, vacation, travel, whatever, live events, anything, take it wherever you want.
My book, I Am a Liar. And people say, it's a book about, and I spoke about this earlier, it's really about the lies that we tell ourselves. And if you don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to understand that whatever that lie that you tell yourself on a daily basis that is holding you back, you do not have to live that lie every day. You can be living your truth, your calling, your purpose, your greatness. It is, oftentimes I say to people, you have greatness in you. And I'm not talking about anything like superficial, like fame or popularity, but that greatness is about what you were put on this earth to do. Your calling, your purpose that reaches beyond your own life, and that truth that resonates with complete authenticity, right? And so I tell them, if you look around and look at yourself, you will see sparks of greatness in you. In fact, tell yourself right now, I see greatness in me. I see greatness in me. And I hope you do, because I see it in you.
Yeah, powerful. So my final question is, how can people reach you?
You can reach me on my website, which is www.stoplyingstartliving.com. My book is available on Amazon, I Am a Liar, Barnes & Noble, and other online retail outlets. And those are the best ways to reach me. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, and so you can look me up.
All right. Coach T. Terrence, I'm so grateful for your time today. I really hope we could do this again because that was awesome. And thank you so much.
I loved it. I loved it. I hope we can chat again. It sounds to me you have a lot to say. I love hearing your story. I am motivated just by hearing your story and how you changed your life just based upon listening to this. I may have to look up this man. You said Joe Dispenza. I've heard of him. I'm going to have to look him up. And so, yeah, definitely. Let's do this again.
Thank you.